You go to those sitcoms or those TV shows, you know, they got the little guy with the headphones, right? And he's got the little thing and he's got the clipboard in his hands and he's telling the audience like telling them to applause. You know, have you ever seen that like in sitcoms when you hear the audience laughing and you're like, it wasn't even funny, but they're laughing anyways. You know, there's that little guy right there and he's like, all right. So maybe tonight if you're not awake, I'll be like, okay, just kind of give it to me. So, hey, listen, first of all, I'm wearing a T-shirt. I wanted to give my love out to my Africa missions trip team. Where's my people going to Africa at, all right? I see you guys right over here in the front row. Look at you guys. So, hey, they got T-shirts like this that are for sale. All the proceeds go to their missions fund. I don't even know. Brittany's over there laughing, covering her face. So you probably don't even have them anymore. You don't have any more? Well, you all need to get something because I'm representing for you, okay? So, anyways, check us out on Facebook or whatever. See what's going on. We're going to Africa in July. We're going to minister to some people. And you know what? So, I'm representing at my team, all right? So, much love to my Africa team as you guys are getting ready. All right, so here we go. Before we go into tonight's service, I'm going to go before the Lord in prayer because you know what? I need it. I need prayer. But I know you need it too. So, I'm going to go before the Lord in prayer and I want you to just join with me. Just go with me. Don't just bow your heads and listen to what I'm saying, but really get ready for yourself. Get your heart prepared to hear because you know what? Yeah, we're going to have a good time. Yeah, we're going to talk about some stories, but there's some truths in these stories that you and I got to get, all right? So let's go before the Lord and let's prepare our hearts. So Father, we come before you today and we're just grateful for the opportunity that we're here in church on a Friday night. You know, there's so many different things that we could go out and we could be doing on a Friday night, but Lord, we have made the commitment. Lord, we have made the effort to get out of our homes, to get out of our lives, to get in here to the Word of God tonight. So Lord, we thank you that your Word says that it would not return void. But Lord, I thank you that we don't come to hear from a man, Lord. We don't come for entertainment, but Lord, we come to church to hear from you. And Lord, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the leader of this church at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, your Holy Spirit would speak to us, would minister to us, would show us things out of the Word of God, some truths and some principles that we can live by, apply to our lives, and we could get out of this place and truly be the church that you have called us to be beyond the four walls of this building. And Lord, to you be the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Amen. All right, well, I'm excited tonight is God's Untold Stories, Part 2. God's Untold Stories, Part 2. Now, if you got your Bibles, go to the book of Daniel. You're like, Pastor Luke, where's the book of Daniel? All right, well, go to page number 1 in your Bible. That's called the Concordance. Find the book of Daniel right there in the Concordance, and it will tell you what page. Because guess what? We're going to start at a really easy place in the book of Daniel. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. There you got it. Thank you. All right, you're tracking with me. All right. As you're turning, video guys, get my cue ready, all right? Because I'm going to go there, and I don't want you to miss it up, all right? As you're going, let me start it like this, all right? The story beginning. Now, Missy, are you behind the soundboard? All right, now I got to get some theatrics, okay? The story begins like this. Let's bring the lights down. Which means if I had a nickel for every time somebody gave me a Star Wars joke growing up, I would be a rich man, okay? So by way of just being forced into it, I had to be a Star Wars fan because everybody was talking to me about being my father, and I was like, what are you talking about? I know my daddy. No, hey, listen, tonight we're talking about the writing on the wall, all right? Now, I just threw that in there because in order to start what we're talking about, we're going to get into this little story about the handwriting on the wall, the handwriting's on the wall. Now, you've heard that term. Maybe you've said that before. That's kind of like a sign of judgment when somebody's talking, and they're like, dude, the writing's on the wall for you, all right? That's a heavy statement, and we're going to get into that. Now, before we get into that, I got to ask, how many of you guys have ever heard the story of the writing on the wall? Anybody ever heard? Okay, actually, like a good portion of you. Cool. Well, you're already. Now, how many of you guys know who Daniel in the lion's den is? All right, anybody know who Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel in the lion's den? All right, let me see again. All right, good, because you know we're not even going there today. You're like, Pastor Luke. This is actually before all that. So here's how we're going to go. Daniel chapter 1. Now, this is a story, so you got to track with me, all right? So Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1. Now, in a good story, there's always something called a foreshadow, all right? Well, this means that something is, they're going to give you just, they're going to give you just a little bit, all right? You got to get this. It's like a little, man, I remember one time I was watching Star Wars, all right? Is any of my Star Wars fans out there? Do I get any Star Wars? All right, it was episode 3. It was episode 3. I know, the first three were terrible. The last three were terrible too, anyways. But they're still good, okay? All right. But I remember it was Anakin was sitting with the governor. All right, and it was that really creepy scene, and he was talking about there was this one Darth Sith Lord that was able to manipulate midichlorians in order to create life, and all of a sudden I was like, dude, it just blew my mind because it was foreshadowing of what was to happen, and it was just like totally, all right, anyways. So, a little bit of foreshadow. So a story, it gives you kind of like the end result. It tells you what's going on before anything even happens. And I love Daniel because Daniel is such a great story. Daniel's such a great thing. But you know what the beautiful thing about the Bible is? As the Bible's not just there for entertainment. Daniel, you got to get this. Daniel's not there just for fun. Daniel's not there just so we can see about some dude that hangs out with big cats, all right? Daniel is there for you and I to learn some things about this. And Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1 says, remember that little intro, 3-4 young boys. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar, man, you know, I named my little boy Bjorn because I wanted him to have a unique name. You know, my wife and I, we didn't even think about it. We drove out of the hospital and we looked at each other and we were like, did we make the right call with that one? Because we just were like, hey, doctor was like, what's his name? We're like, Bjorn. And everybody's like the tennis player? We didn't even know who that guy was. Now, this is a crazy name, Jehoiakim and Nebuchadnezzar. Now, they're only going to get funkier from this point on, all right? King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Does anybody know what besieged means? Man, have you ever seen those old movies where they had like the big trebuchets and they're launching and they're chucking rocks, big boulders and breaking down walls? And you know, like Lord of the Rings, when they got those big ladders, remember that? When the orcs are like on the ladders and they go up on the wall and then they're climbing up and everybody's on the wall fighting and axing at each other. This is what's going on in Jerusalem. So here King Nebuchadnezzar comes, and he besieges Jerusalem. He conquers it. He takes it on. Verse number 2. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take. Listen, this is that foreshadowing. Listen to this. All right, you got to get this. This is deep stuff right here. And permitted him. The Lord gave him victory over Judah. Okay? The Lord allowed Nebuchadnezzar to win. Remember in that little scrolling credits, it said that they were about to learn a hard lesson? Here it is. God gave Nebuchadnezzar the ability. He gave him the right to beat the children of Israel. He gave them the right. And he permitted. God gave Nebuchadnezzar. This is a trip. Think about this. This is foreshadowing. You've got to get this. He gave him permission. Permission to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. He gave Nebuchadnezzar some permission to take some of the objects of the temple from the temple of God. Now going on to verse number 17, skipping down a couple of verses, the Bible says that he took 4 young men. He said to his leaders, he says, hey, listen, I want you to take the good-looking, I want you to take the educated, I want you to take the nobility, and I want you to bring them back to our country, to our lands, and I want you to teach them their ways. He was smart. What he was doing is Nebuchadnezzar was saying, hey, listen, we're going to influence, we're going to brainwash the young, we're going to brainwash the nobility, we're going to brainwash the good-looking to live our way so that when they go back to their homes, they will influence everybody around them to our ways and we will all be uniform and fit into the mold of Babylon. Now, I'm not going to bore you with geography or anything like that, but let's just say Jerusalem is Los Angeles, all right? L.A., Southern California, woo, woo, all right? Babylon, it's so fitting. Babylon is like Las Vegas, all right? Yes, yeah, you're like the city of sin. Yes, amen, hallelujah, all right? So here, Las Vegas comes, they conquer Los Angeles, and they haul all the good, they haul all the Brad Pitts, and they haul the Brangelinas out to Las Vegas, and they're going to teach them their ways so that when they come back to Los Angeles, they're going to teach everybody their ways, all right? But there's some things that happened. The Bible says God gave these 4 young boys that were taken away from their homeland, God gave them something. Supernaturally, God set something in them. And now you got to remember this because it's really important for the application part of the story, okay? God gave them an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. Hey, he made them smart. God made them smart. You know what's cool about that? What's really cool about that? God can make you and I smart. Think about that for a minute. Pastor Jim, who's the senior pastor of our church, he always brags about the fact that he has a third grade reading level. You know, one time, Azusa Pacific University, is there anybody, any APU people in the house, or any family members of APU? Anybody? Any? All right, praise God, because I won't judge you. Aw, David. Dude, see, I'm CBU, man. We're like arch enemies, all right? But APU one time called up Pastor Jim, and they were like, hey, man, because of everything you've done, we want to give you an honorary doctorate degree. And he was like, no, you'll ruin my testimony. I don't want to be Dr. Jim. So he turned it down. But see, God gave them, just like Pastor Jim, took somebody with a third grade reading level who was willing to do what God wanted him to do. God gave them supernatural knowledge. He gave them wisdom. All you and I got to do is believe in God. And with Christ, all things are possible. God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. Now, Daniel has a gift. Daniel's like Joseph and Pharaoh back in the day when Pharaoh had some bad dreams. You remember the story of Joseph in the coats of many colors and Pharaoh and all that good stuff? And Joseph was there, and he interpreted the dreams. God gave the same gift to this young boy named Daniel. So Daniel has this amazing gift to interpret the meanings of dreams. Now, going into chapter 2, Daniel, the second chapter, this is a really cool story. Daniel's got four friends. Now, the Bible gives us their names in Hebrew, and the Bible tells us that the Persians or the Babylonians, they changed their names. You and I know the story maybe as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody ever heard the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I will not bow. Fiery furnace. All right. So King Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to call him King Neb, all right, because that's a long name. King Neb, he says, all right, man, I'm really into myself. I love myself. I love myself so much. Now, listen, you guys all take your selfies, right? You're like, aha, I'm at Disneyland. All right, Facebook. Right? You girls, listen, you know, you're pucking up your lips, right? Got my makeup on. King Nebuchadnezzar loved himself more than any selfie. Why? Because he had the ultimate selfie. He made a 90-foot statue of himself. Out of gold. All right. No, we're not talking like out of gold. All right. This guy had money, right? So he made it. The Bible says it was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide of himself. That is the ultimate selfie. I'm sorry. It trumps everything else. You're like, I'm going to try to beat that, Pastor Luke. Well, good luck trying. All right. So Nebuchadnezzar makes this 90-foot tall statue, and he creates his law. He says, hey, listen, anytime you hear the music play, you got to stop what you're doing and bow down. Bow down when I come to your town. Whenever you hear the music, he says, bow down, right? So everybody in the kingdom's bowed down. Now, Daniel, they don't tell us where Daniel's at, all right? But there's these three boys that were Daniel's friends, all right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And everybody else is bowing down. And here's these three guys, and they're like, no, standing tall. Everybody's looking at them. Hey, man, bow down, dude. King Nebuchadnezzar said that if you don't bow down, he's going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they're like, No. So King Nebuchadnezzar, he gets word. He's like, hey, bring these guys to me. So he brings them. He's like, listen, bow down. I'll give you one more chance. And they're like, no. He says, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they're like, no, man, we're not going to bow. We only serve one God. We're not going to bow to any other God but our God. So King Nebuchadnezzar says, all right, light the furnace up. Make the big old bonfire. And he gets them and he tries to chuck them in there. And Nebuchadnezzar, out of his own mouth, he says, as they're in the fire, he says, wait, the fire's not consuming them. Didn't we throw three guys in the fire? Because now there's four. And all of a sudden he sees these guys and they're just standing in the fire, right? I mean, just imagine this big old fire and they're just chilling, right? They're not being like, ah, you know, they're not getting burned up or anything like that. They're in the fire. And then he says, there's a fourth guy. And Nebuchadnezzar himself says, and the fourth guy looks like the Son of God. Now remember the little yellow thing said that he was like the evil king, right? He was secular. He was trying to influence them to his ways, but yet all of a sudden his life is starting to change, and he sees, I see three guys that I threw in the fire, and now there's four, and the fourth guy in there looks like the Son of God. How does Nebuchadnezzar know that? I mean, there must be some glory coming out of that fire. So Nebuchadnezzar's like, all right, dude, bring these guys out of the fire. Hey, turn the heat down. Let's go. These guys come out. The Bible says their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. They weren't even hot. I mean, God covered them. What an amazing story. But we're not even talking about that one. Now, Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Daniel begins to interpret these dreams. That's the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Another dream. Now all of a sudden he has this dream. It's a dream about this tree. It's a beautiful tree. It's got a lot of fruit. It's got beautiful leaves. There's animals in the shade and all this. I mean, it's a really nice picture. Just imagine this nice meadow with a big oak tree or something like that. And all of a sudden the voice from heaven says, cut it down. Drag it away. Chase the animals out. Put iron around the tree trunk and leave it there. I mean, real deep voice for theatrics, right? You know? And Nebuchadnezzar's sweating on this. He's like, what is this dream about? So they get wind. He said, hey, man, remember that guy Daniel? Daniel knows how to interpret dreams. So they call this young guy Daniel out. And Daniel says, all right, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to tell you what your dream is. He says, I wish this dream was for your enemies and not for you, but the Lord has revealed to me what your dream is. And he says, your dream is this, that the tree that with all the fruit and with all the splendor and all the glory and the shade and the animals and everything, that's you. That's your kingdom. It's beautiful. It's great. You think you're so wonderful right now. But he says, what's going to happen is the hand of God's going to come. It's going to cut your feet out from underneath you. It's going to leave your trunk. You're going to get dragged away. You're going to be out there with the animals. You're going to go crazy, Nebuchadnezzar. For 7 years, you're going to be nuts. You're going to be out in the field. Your nails are going to grow long. Your hair's going to get all long. You're going to be eating grass like cows. You're going to be letting the rain get on. You're not going to have any shelter. But after 7 years, God will restore you. Nebuchadnezzar says, oh my goodness, this guy's amazing. He showers Daniel, promotes him to a position of leadership. Sure enough, boom, Nebuchadnezzar's up on the top of his kingdom. He's looking over at his city of Babylon. He's up there and he's like, man, I am the man. Look at my kingdom. He's like, look at my kingdom. Man, from the east to the west, it looks so good. And right there, boom, God comes down and he changes Nebuchadnezzar's mind. He goes nuts. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, goes bonkers. He goes out into the field. He's driven away from everybody. They're like, dude, you're nuts. They send him out into a field for 7 years. 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar out in the field eating grass. The Bible says his hair is long like eagle's feathers. His nails are long. He's like a beast. He has no shelter. He's just a madman. All right? But after 7 years, he comes to his wits. The hand of God comes upon him. And Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar himself comes back in Daniel, the 4th chapter, verse number 37. It says this. Look at this. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble the proud. So here's this big old bad king, this big old rough and burly guy. He came and besieged Jerusalem, took everybody captive. This was the world power, all right? You remember, anybody seen like 300? Don't admit it. All right, it's all right. Keep your hands down. Just be like, yeah, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about, right? You know, like that big king Xerxes. This is the lineage of that, all right? Nebuchadnezzar was the world power. And God brought him. He cut his feet out from underneath him, drove him nuts for 7 years. And he came back and he acknowledged that, listen, God has the ability to give me my kingdom and take my kingdom away. And I will acknowledge the God of heaven, the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the God that I will acknowledge, not my gods of my land before. And Nebuchadnezzar in his heart realizes who God is. Now, Daniel goes on. The book of Daniel goes on. And it brings us to Daniel. The fifth chapter, Daniel, the fifth chapter, the writing is on the wall. Now Nebuchadnezzar is no longer the king. His predecessor has now become king, and his predecessor throws a big party. Check it out.
Nebuchadnezzar was king, and God had to humble him. Fast forward years. Now, King Belshazzar, he's king. I pray that he takes heed from his grandfather's mistakes. And he's not as humble as he is, or as proud as he is. That's good. Let me write that down. Okay, it was a cold, crisp March evening, and as I sat there contemplating things, he walked into the room.
Oh, it is cold outside. Brr. Woo, baby, it's cold outside. Woo.
You know, in all the rooms and all the kingdoms, you had to walk into mine.
Dude, Daniel, you gave me your business card. It has your address on it. You called me like 20 minutes ago because I was late to this little meeting here. That but I got a motto. It says that I'd rather show up late than show up ugly. You know what I'm saying? So gotta worry about all this.
Yeah, that's something good to live by, I'm sure. So, King Belshazzar. Can I call you King Beezy?
Yeah, I like that. Beezy. Yeah.
Okay.
Call me that.
Okay, King Beezy. Go ahead and tell me everything and don't leave anything out.
Oh, man. Okay, let me tell you about my party.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Daniel. Daniel in the Bible. Some call me Belshazzar, but you can go ahead and call me Daniel. I was brought over here by a king, and I have a strict diet, you know. I pray 3 times a day openly, and I've been known to chill with some very, very large cats. But most importantly, I serve the one true God of Israel. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. That's right. You know what I am? I'm a PI, private interpreter. I interpret the dreams and the secrets and the mysteries of God. That's right. A gumshoe. Now, I know gum hasn't been invented yet, but let's just say I have a knack for seeing what's coming. Oh, mercy. Okay, well, you may have heard of my friends, my amigos, my partners, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's just say they've been put through some very hot situations, but they've always kept their cool. All right, but tonight, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I have a mystery. So be sure to listen up, take notes, and take heed. I got a doozy for you. Carry on.
So let me tell you about this party that I planned, right? So there's like 1,000 people, right? And we were all up on the dance floor. Okay, there was ladies everywhere, okay? I had the best DJs in Babylon. DJ Polo was on the ones and twos, okay? And you know what? I brought in exotic food. Like, people were eating dolphin kebabs, okay? It was, like, delicious, right? Mm. And you know, we were drinking. You know, we got our drink on, okay? And we were drinking so much because there were so many ladies, all right, that we ran out of cups. Now, I ain't going to serve anybody no red solo cups, okay? So I started to think, where can I get some more cups? I remember my grandfather had a stash of goblets, so we went and got some of those, all right?
Wait. Goblets?
Yeah, goblets.
Where did you get the goblets from?
I don't know. Let me think. Maybe the temple?
The temple? As in the temple of God?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so?
The temple of God. You mean the goblets that God has set apart as holy temple?
Yeah, they look good, and the ladies love them. Okay.
Okay, just carry on, just carry
on.
So
then we were drinking, right, and we got a little tipsy, okay? And you know, maybe some people started worshiping other gods, and maybe just a little bit. I got a little out of hand.
Okay, so you got God's goblets from the temple. Mm-hmm. You got drizonk, and then you started worshiping gods made of, like, fancy paper mache?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, just go on. I'm getting verklempt.
All right. Let me tell you what happened, though. It was crazy. So we were like a little drunk. You know what I'm saying. Okay? And then this big old hand comes down from the ceiling, right?
Okay, and I was like,
did I order special effects? Because I don't remember that one.
Right.
And it turned out to be real. It was real, and it wrote this thing on the wall in another language. I need your help, Daniel.
Okay, I'm going to ask you one very important question.
Yeah, ask me.
How many fingers am I holding up?
You're holding up 2. Okay, I'm not drunk right now.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
I know what's going on.
Okay, look, you know what? I don't know if I could help you. I don't know if I can do
no,
this.
No, I need your help. I'll give you anything, Daniel. I'll give you money. I'll give you women. I'll give you stacks on stacks. Yo, I'll make it rain, baby. I'll make it rain. You want a chain? I'll give you 2 chains, Daniel. I just need your help.
Okay.
I just need your help.
Okay,
Daniel.
Look, you know what?
Help me.
King Beezy, I don't do this for the money, okay? I do this because the one true God of Israel, he gives me the ability to interpret these things.
Yeah.
And King Beezy, let me tell you, I knew your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. I knew him well. I was with him many times in the DOD. Department of Dreams. Mm. And you know what? He was a very proud man, and God humbled him.
I know.
And King Beezy, I just thought you were going to be different.
I know I want to be different, but I can't stop, and I won't stop. I need help, Daniel. I need help.
You do need help. You do need help. Okay. You know what, guys? Look. He took the goblets out of the temple, okay? Then they got drunk, and then they started praising other gods. There's not a huge mystery here, guys. We know why this is happening. Let's just go see the writing on the wall. Okay, King Beezy,
let me show you. Look at right up here. It's right there. Tell me what it means.
Okay. Listen. All right. All right, King Beezy. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel Parson.
I know that, but what does it mean? Tell me the truth.
Listen, you can't handle the truth.
Oh, man.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to tell you anyway.
I can handle it.
All right. Okay, listen up, King. Listen up, King. Okay. It says, Mene. God has counted the days until your kingdom will end.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know how many? Does it say how many?
No,
oh,
seriously,
my goodness.
Are you really asking this right now? Are we really talking about this? Okay. Tekel, you were weighed and you did not measure up.
Oh, no.
Parson, your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians.
Oh, I hate those guys. Ah, man.
Listen, King Beezy, by the end of tonight, you're a goner, man. Guys. Mystery solved. Case closed.
All right, so now we see the story of the handwriting on the wall. King Belshazzar parties, all right? So in celebration of the fact that he is the new king of Babylon, he throws a party. And now listen, let's be real, okay? Let's be real. Not only does he get drizunk, all right, get his drank on. I'm too white. It doesn't work for me, all right? Listen, this was not a good party, okay? I mean, you know that there was all sorts of different promiscuity going on in this. There was orgies and all. I mean, it was bad, all right? This is legit bad, okay? So now they're partying. Now, Rembrandt has this amazing picture. My dad has a picture of this in his house. And it's King Belshazzar looking back over his chair as the hand is on the wall. So as they're partying, as they're getting drunk, as he pulls, remember that foreshadow? Remember how I took you there? Do you remember how I said God permitted Nebuchadnezzar to take the gold out of the temple? God allowed it. And now here it is, the very gold that we read in Daniel chapter 1, the goblets, the drinks, the precious things that God had set aside. The very things that God had allowed to be removed out of his temple, now Belshazzar had taken and used them for his drunken party. He had used them to worship his own gods, to exalt himself above all other people, above all other gods, signifying that it doesn't matter. The thing is, you're going to see in just a moment, Belshazzar knew better. That's the hard part. So here they're having this big old party, and just imagine, think about it. Go with me for a minute, in your heads for a minute. This big old hand, boom, on the wall, starts carving into the wall. It's not like this pretty little, you know, like Elena right there. She's an artist. Not like a little pretty Elena hand with like a marker. Like this big hand, monster-sized hand, boom, starts carving into the wall, writing permanently on the wall. Everybody's thinking, oh my gosh, what did they spike the drink with is what they're really thinking. And Belshazzar, somebody comes to Belshazzar and they say, hey man, there's a guy in the kingdom your grandfather knew, Nebuchadnezzar knew, his name's Daniel. He's able to interpret dreams. He used to do it all the time for your granddaddy. Why don't we give him a call and see what the writing on the wall says? And so Daniel comes, like you saw in the skit. Belshazzar comes to Daniel, brings Daniel, and says, man, I'll give you all the money. I'll give you whatever you want. And Daniel, I love this man. He says, listen, you could give, I'm not taking anything from you. I don't care what you do with it. Give it away, Daniel says. I'll do it for God. So they go, and then they see the writing on the wall. Guys, go and put that slide up there. So on the wall, you see it says, many, many Tekel Parson. Many, many Tekel Parson. Now, here, Bible says, these are very things. Does anybody remember Heath Ledger? Remember Heath Ledger back in the day? Man, he had a cool movie. It was so cheesy. It was like, it's a terrible movie. But Pastor Joe, me and Pastor Joe liked that movie. We were all about that movie. It was called A Knight's Tale. Does anybody remember that movie, A Knight's Tale? That was such a bad movie. Don't even admit that you like it either, all right? But there was a scene, you remember that? At the very end, when the big bad black knight got knocked off his horse and everybody leans over and they're like, you have been waived. And then they come over and you have been measured, and then you have been found wanting. See, that is a reference to this right here. God is saying, he carves in the wall to Belshazzar. He says, listen, man, you have been weighed. I put you on the scale. I wanted to see what you were really made of. I wanted to see what was really on the inside of you, because I tested your granddad, and he ended up coming out on top. But I have weighed you. I have set you against the balance of life, and you have been found wanting. You have been found made a fake. You are not the real king. So he says, God has counted the days until your kingdom is end. He says that twice. God has counted the days until your kingdom will end. That's pretty scary. He says, you were weighed and did not measure up. Your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. The Bible goes on to tell us, that night, not the next day, not 6 months later. You know, sometimes in the Bible, because the Bible happened at a slower pace, all right? Remember, they didn't have the freeway, okay? They didn't have WikiLeaks, and they didn't have Facebook and all these different things where news goes out on one side of the world and everybody's got it the next day, okay? So sometimes you'll read something in the Bible, and it might be from verse to verse, it's like 100 years, but not in this case. From verse to verse, that night, Belshazzar, boom, dead. That night, the next day, Darius. King Darius takes over the kingdom, just like that. Now, I'm going to read to you what Daniel says out of the New Living Translation. Daniel, in the fifth chapter, this is his response to King Belshazzar. Daniel, the fifth chapter, verse number 18, it says, Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. God, listen, remember I highlighted in chapter 1, verse 17, that God gave Daniel, God gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gifts. God gave to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. He allowed him. Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses about God. He gave him sovereignty, majesty, glory, and honor to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. Going on. He made him so great, that all the people of all the races and nations and language trembled before him in fear. This is a crazy guy right here. It says, he killed who we wanted to kill. And he spared who he wanted to spare. There was no questions about that. He honored those he wanted to honor, and he disgraced those who he wanted to disgrace. But when his heart and his mind were puffed up in arrogance, he was brought down from his royal throne and stripped of his glory, like the dream said. Took him out, brought him out into the field, made him mad. The man ate grass for 7 years. Sorry, vegetarians. King Nebuchadnezzar ate grass. Not the wheatgrass. But when his heart and his mind were puffed up in arrogance, he was brought down from his royal throne, stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of a wild animal. He lived among the wild donkeys. He ate. Has anybody ever been around livestock? Has anybody been around a horse or donkey? Anybody ever been around? You ever smelt that stuff? You ever smelt a wild donkey? Not the kind of horse that somebody cleans like the racehorses in like Los Alamitos, okay? I'm talking about wild, all right? They lay in their poop. That's how nasty they are. They stink. Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest king of this known world, is laying with wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow. He was drenched with the dew of heaven. Listen to this. Until he learned that the Most High God rules over the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. Nebuchadnezzar had something that Belshazzar didn't have. He had perspective. He realized God allowed him to be who he was. God allowed him to have the power. God allowed him to have the sovereignty. He gave him the rulership. He gave him the reign that he had. And he realized that even though Belshazzar or Nebuchadnezzar was king, he realized that God was above him and that God was over him. And when he came to his senses, God blessed him. Until he learned that God the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. Now this is where it really gets good. He says, hey, you are his successor. You are his successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all of this. There it is, man. There is the gist of the story. That's it right there. He says, Belshazzar, you knew every little bit of this detail. This is in your literature books. When you were growing up as a little baby, you heard about how your granddaddy went nuts. You knew. Your granddaddy taught you about this God. Your granddaddy set aside temples honored to this God. Your granddaddy wrote laws about this God. You knew all of this. And yet, you have not humbled yourself. So God sent this message, his hand. God sent this hand to write this message. This message he has written, many men of Temple and Parson. The words mean, many means numbered. God has numbered your days and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. Parson means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Skipping down to verse number 30, it says, and that very night, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was killed. That very night. Why? Because the Persians were already at his doorstep. They were already there. God already knew. It was already lined up. God's hand was on this because God gave Nebuchadnezzar the right to reign, and Belshazzar did not respect it, did not see it, even though he knew it, and God had it lined up, ready to go. And Darius, the king of the Persians, was there on the doorstep of Belshazzar, and that night, he was killed. That night, Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62, the last verse of chapter 5. Today, the story is the handwriting on the wall. We talked about this great handwriting that came out. Before we finish, I want to take you to chapter 6 because there's a really important point. Now, we've seen Nebuchadnezzar, we've seen Belshazzar, and now we see about a man by the name of Darius. Darius the Mede, verse number 1, decided to divide the kingdom into 124 provinces. There's the division that God said in his dream, or in his writing. He appointed a high officer to rule over each province. He gave every province, every state, a governor, just like you and I know, all right? So he gave a Jerry Brown to every one of those provinces of his kingdom, okay? The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers. Okay, let's put it like this. So there's a Jerry Brown, there's a governor, all right, in his governor's mansion over every state of the kingdom. Now Darius appointed Daniel and three other guys, to become leaders. This is like the House of Representatives right here. Boom! Daniel's big, he's the Speaker of the House. All right? Daniel's like, he's like John Boehner? Boehner? He's like John Boehner, right? Newt Gingrich, whatever his name is. I don't know. All right? I don't even pay attention to that stuff no more. So Daniel is over there. The king also chose Daniel and two other officers and administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Listen to this. Verse number 3. Daniel soon proved himself. Why? Because remember, God gave Daniel a gift. God gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a gift. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all of the other administrators and high officers. And because of Daniel's great ability, not because of his own, but because God gave it to him, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. And from that point, everybody becomes jealous of Daniel. They try to find out a way to devise him. They try a way to get Daniel, to trap him. And you know the story. They find out that Daniel openly worships his God. So they try to write a law. This says, no, you can't do that. You can only worship Darius for this certain amount of time. And Daniel says, psh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray openly. You know the story. They come in, and because it's a law, Darius throws Daniel in the lion's den. And guess what happens? Daniel comes out of the lion's den, and Darius says, man, Daniel, your God is the one true God. Out of all of this, three kingdoms, one man comes out on top. Three kingdoms, one man comes out on top. Now, above all the story, beyond all the fun and the literature and the skits and the dramas, what does this story mean for you and I? What does this mean to you and I today? What do we take away from Daniel and the handwriting on the wall? Because, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, Pastor Michelle and Leah tore it. I mean, you guys, I was having so much fun. Did you guys enjoy them? It's so funny. The Sandels, the Villanuevas, the Owens, they're so ghetto. It's like you get them up, and it's like when Beth gets up, and man, that girl gets ghetto when she preaches. I love it. I guess it's because y'all grew up in Grand Terrace, right? You know, all right. GT. All right. Oh, whatever, dude. That's Grand Terrace. That's High Grove, girl. So what does this mean to you and I? What do we take beyond the story? I want to just give you three simple things that we're going to finish real quick, okay? I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I want to tell you three things. There's so many things we could take out of this story. I'm not even going to talk about drunkenness. I'm not even going to talk about crazy parties. You know why? Because you already know that. You come to church and you already know you're not supposed to be doing all that stuff. We already know that. If you don't know that, well, you just heard it, okay? But anyways, so three things today. Number one today, what do we take out of the story beyond that? Number one, Daniel was a foreigner. He was placed by God, and he was blessed by God. Important part. So are we. Wait a minute, Pastor Luke. Nobody came and beat my house down, dragged me out of my house to Las Vegas, and tried to tell me that, maybe somebody did, I don't know. But nobody tried to tell me their ways, teach me their ways. You see, all throughout the Bible, all throughout the New Testament, the Bible refers to us as foreigners, as aliens, being on the outside. We were brought into the family of God. We are brought into the kingdom of God, and therefore you and I are no longer, Jesus tells his disciples, we're no longer of this world. That's why there's that clothing line, N-O-T-W, right? You see the stickers and the little Hawaiian flower or whatever? Not of this world. He says, you are not of this world. Even though you're in this world, you're no longer of this world, which means Daniel was a foreigner. He was placed by God, but everything he did, he was blessed by God. God gave him the ability to be sustained. Three kingdoms, one man was the leader of all of those three kingdoms. Beyond the king was Daniel. Daniel was made there. Look what it says in 1 Peter. I'll just put it up on the overhead for you. 1 Peter says this, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. Peter tells us to you and I, we're temporary residents and foreigners. To keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Verse number 12. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Do you realize this is Daniel right here? Daniel was a foreigner, but he kept himself pure. They tried to accuse Daniel of different things. They tried to accuse Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of breaking the laws, of being troublemakers. But in the end, the truth prevailed, and the people that came against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the people that came against Daniel, were cast into the lion's den or were tossed into the furnace, and the kings who were deceived by them acknowledged and glorified God because they did not compromise their lives. Daniel was a foreigner. You and I in the kingdom of God are foreigners in this world. James, the Bible tells us in James in the fourth chapter, he says, cleanse your hands, wash your hands, sinners. Draw close to God, he'll draw close to you. He says, you're trying to be one with the world. You've got to divorce the world. Because what you compromise in your life to keep, you will lose it. Daniel did not compromise. He never stopped worshiping God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow when the song started playing. And God placed them there for a reason. Why? Because the king wanted to manipulate them to teach them so that they would go back and change Israel's history. But rather, they changed Babylon's history. God has desired you and I to be foreigners, to go, not to be manipulated, not to be changed, or not to be controlled by the world that we live in, but rather to be world changers in our life. And it starts with not making compromises in our life and standing for the things of God. All right. Number two, what are we taking away from this? Number two, Belshazzar ignored the signs of God and he paid the price. Don't do it. Don't do it. Belshazzar ignored. The Bible says, Daniel says, listen, king, you knew it. You knew what you were doing. You knew what those cups were, and you did it anyways. He ignored the signs, and he paid the price. Church, young adults, don't ignore the signs. Don't ignore what the Bible says. Don't take this and say, well, that's not for me. Don't take that and say, oh, that was for somebody else. The Bible is there for you and I to read it, to accept it, to live by it. Belshazzar saw the signs, and he ignored them, and he paid the ultimate price for them. Don't ignore the price. Listen to what God has for you. You know why? Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Do you think Belshazzar knew that that night, because of that party, he would die? He had no clue. You know, the Bible says in James the fourth chapter, verse number 14, it's up on the overhead. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Don't ignore the signs. Don't ignore the signs that God has for you. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. It's God speaking in your life. Stop ignoring it. He says, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here for a little while and boom, the sun comes out and it's gone. Look what it goes on to say. Verse number 15. What do you say? If the Lord wants us to, we'll live and we'll do this and we'll do that. And he goes on to say, verse number 16. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own plans, and such boasting is evil. In verse number 17, look what verse number 17 says. Remember, church, it is sin to know what you ought to do and to not do it. Whoa. It is sin to know what you ought to do and not do it. Stop ignoring the signs that are in front of you. Don't get to the point in your life when your life is over and you ran out of time and you did not realize that you had no more time, and when you get before the judgment seat of God, because the Bible says it's appointed for men to die and face judgment, don't get to the point in your life when you see the handwriting on the wall that says you have been weighed and you have been measured and you have been found wanting. Because there are signs right now. You're here for a reason right now. Don't ignore the signs that God has for you, but rather do what you ought to be doing and follow with it. Are you with me tonight? I know it's heavy. I know it's deep. I know. Last one for tonight. One man, three kingdoms. Why? Because God's in control. God is in control. And you know what? It's best to follow his control. God is in control. Man, Pastor Luke, it doesn't feel like God is in control of my life. You know why? Because you're probably not following it. Listen. Pastor Luke, I don't know where God is in my life. Start listening to what God has to say. Because God is in control, and it is best. Listen, it's your free will choice. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was saying, hey, you know what, man, we think that God's up there just ready to move us and do everything we want, and we're just like little chess pieces for God's chessboard. The only difference is that when God plays chess, the chess pieces have the option of whether or not they want to make the move or not. Think about that for a minute. So it doesn't work like a chess game where I move this and it goes. God says, I want you to go there. And that chess piece says, no, I don't want to do that. Well, then I have to move somebody else to do that. God is in control, and it is best to follow his control. But it is our choice to follow that control. Daniel was a man who followed the control and the leading of God. Daniel was a leader in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, in Belshazzar's kingdom, in Darius's kingdom. They all came and went. God remained, and Daniel was covered by God. Proverbs, the third chapter, verse number 5. Very familiar voices. Very familiar verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. You remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? Remember I told you, he said, oh man, I'm so good. Look at my kingdom. Look at how well I've done for myself. He says, don't depend on your own understanding. Verse number 6 comes and says, seek his will. Seek his will. You see, we want God to come in there and just drop it on our face. Boom! Here's my will. God says, I want you to seek it out. I want you to dedicate time to me. I'm in control, but you got to choose to listen. He says, seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you the path to take. That's the Bible. The Bible says the word doesn't return void, but it's our choice to follow it or not. Seek his will. Last verse number 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. I remember I was sitting with a young guy. He was talking about all his accolades. Man, I have this and this and this and this and this. And I told him, I said, dude, you know what I hear? I hear, I. You're focused too much on yourself, not on God. And he came back, he sat with me a couple weeks ago. Man, it was like the best meeting I have ever had. Because he says, Pastor Luke, man, you hit me so hard with that. And I have learned to step back from myself and allow God to do things in my life. And God has taken me beyond where I ever thought I could be. And I know that I'm just beginning. And that is exactly it. When you and I think that we're all it, in a bag of chips, God says, listen, don't lean on your own understanding. Listen, church, listen, guys, young adults, please, listen. Don't try God. Don't ever try God. Don't ever try, oh, I'll give it a shot. No. If you try God, you fail. You do it. You get in there and you do it, whether you feel like it, whether you wake up one day and all the world, like Pastor Jim always says, like the devil is sitting on your face. You do it because God is in control, and it is our choice to follow God's lead. And we can learn from the kings, and we can learn from the stories of old, or we can let them go and call them literature, but it is our choice. So did you guys get something out of the story tonight? Oh, praise God. Hey, God is good. I tell you what, it was so much fun. I am so jealous of that beard. I wish.